Let us pray. Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts will be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I got an email from my friend Beth this week telling me about something, but at the end of her email, she said, "Guess what? One of my colleague's cousin has moved in beside your house." I thought, wow, what a small world. The gentleman and lady that have moved in next door are also cousins of a guy I used to work with many years ago at the government who was also a friend of mine. So I thought, okay, there's a link with my friend Beth, and now she knows the cousin of the people that live beside me, and I know them now, and I know their brother. The world is round, isn't it? A number of years ago, something called 6 degrees of separation was going around. I think they made a movie about it, but it was a social experiment that said, we are all linked together. If we knew what the linkage was, it would only take 6 hops to reach everybody on the earth. Sounds kind of crazy, doesn't it? I really like movies. I kind of, you know, hope that Meryl Streep is only 6 hops from me, and someday I'm going to go to a party, and Meryl will be there because she knows so-and-so, who knows so-and-so, who knows so-and-so, who knows me. I like to play that game, too, when it comes to royalty, because a friend of mine had a relationship, a romance, with one of the relatives of Charles, King Charles now. So it only takes me 3 hops to get to King Charles. Me, my friend, and the person she had a romance with, and Charles. Now, does that mean I can phone Charles up and say, hey, Chuck, I'm going to be in London next month. Can I come over and visit you? I think he would hang up. In fact, I don't even think he would pick up the phone. 6 degrees of separations doesn't necessarily mean that all those people are going to be our friends. So here we are at the end of our liturgical year. It's Christ the King Sunday, or as we call it now, the Reign of Christ. It's a very recent liturgical holiday, started at the beginning of the 20th century, when there were a lot of people deciding that they were the kings. Maybe they didn't call themselves kings, maybe they called themselves czars, or chairmen, or presidents, or prime ministers. But there were a lot of tyrants around, and the church decided that it had a different view of who was in charge of the world. So they started this Sunday, Christ the King. We've expanded it now to say, yes, there is a king, but he has a reign over all the earth, and we are part of that reign of this king. This Sunday, we celebrate not Christ the King on a cross. I love the fact that Avion put the cross right where the crown is. And we remember at Easter that Christ became the king because of his sacrifice on the cross. This Sunday, we get to celebrate Christ in all his majesty. And yet, even in all that majesty, when he's going to come and judge the world, what do our scripture readings tell us about him today? Margaret read that beautiful passage in Ezekiel, where we're told that this is the king who is really a shepherd. And what does the shepherd do? For thus says the Lord God, I myself, the king, will search for my sheep and I will seek them out. We don't have to go looking for the king because the king as a shepherd comes looking for us. The king wants to have a relationship with us. I search for my sheep. We all love Psalm 23. We are his sheep of his pasture. And he leads us beside cool waters. I will seek them out. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. Sheep only lie down when they feel safe. So he is saying, I'm going to take care of them. I'm going to make sure they're safe because I am their shepherd king. What else does he say? I will seek the lost. We love the story of the little lost sheep who wanders off. Where did we hear that story from? From King Jesus. He went out to get the little lost sheep and bring it back. And we love that picture, don't we? Of he has it on his shoulders, keeping it safe, not even letting it walk on its own little paws or hooves. I'm not sure which it is. But he's carrying it because it's weak and it's tired. That's what our king does for us as our shepherd. I will seek the lost and I will bring back the strays. Sometimes we wander off and get lost just because the map we have didn't show us the right place to go. And we can get in a little bit of a panic. But sometimes we actually stray, don't we? We think, I don't want to go to church anymore. I'm going to stray and do other stuff on a Sunday morning. I'm going to stop reading my Bible because, you know, I sort of know what it all says now. And we stray away because we want to try something new and exciting. But the shepherd says, I will seek the ones who have strayed away too. Doesn't judge them, just goes and finds them and woos them back into the safe place with the shepherd. I will bring back the strayed. Sometimes when we stray, we get hurt, don't we? We find that the things that we would give us so much satisfaction don't actually do it. I think of some of our young people. Yes, we should explore who we are and what we are. But I sometimes think our young people are so caught up in, I'm going to create my own identity, and my own identity is going to give me happiness. And we find that it doesn't. I can call myself whatever I want, but that's not necessarily going to bring me happiness. I might get hurt as I go on that journey. And what will God do for the hurt ones? I will bind up the injured. I fell this week. It wasn't a bad fall, but I did injure my knee. And the thought that God would take the time to bind up that little injury that I had makes me feel really good. That God cares enough about us that he will bind up our injuries. I will strengthen the weak. Do you ever feel weak? Maybe physically. Maybe you forgot to have breakfast this morning. And right about now you're thinking, I wish I'd had that piece of toast. I'm feeling kind of weak right now. Or maybe you've just started a new job and you really don't know what you're doing. Kind of weak when you have to go into the office every day and fake it till you make it. I will strengthen the weak. I will strengthen the weak. So if you're weak, if you're injured, if you've strayed, if you're lost, the shepherd is going to come and help you. But then in Ezekiel, he tells us this. But the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with justice. Now, what's wrong with being a fat lamb or a strong lamb? Sounds pretty good to me. Sounds like you're pretty healthy then. But it says, I will feed them with justice. Not with mercy, not with kindness, but with justice. But then Ezekiel tells us why. Because you fat cats, you fat lambs, because you pushed with flank and shoulder and butted at all the weak animals with your horns until you scattered them far and wide. This is justice being brought up to people who have been unjust to the rest of their kindred. Butted with your horn, that's enough to give a fatal wound, isn't it? God says, those kind of people, I will judge. I will feed them not wonderful oats and whatever else little lambs eat, but I will feed them with justice. They will pay for what they've done to my sweet little lambs that were helpless and weak. That's what our king is like. That's what he wants us to be like. So what do we have to do? This is a different kind of king. This is not the kind of king that says might is right. This is the kind of king that totally identifies with the weak and the helpless and the scared, and the people who don't actually know all the time what they're doing. So, what does Christ want us to do? What does Christ want us to do? Well, he tells us in our Matthew passage. He's now in his glory. He's already died on the cross, but now he's wearing that golden crown. And all the people have come before him, and he separates the sweet little lambs from the mean goats with the horns that were butting everybody. And he says to them, come and get your inheritance. I don't know about you, but I like the thought of getting an inheritance. Anybody ever had an inheritance from somebody? Probably it was somebody you loved really well, and they left you maybe money or a house or a beautiful painting that you weren't expecting. It's a great thing to get an inheritance, isn't it? And God says to the people on his right, I'm going to give you an inheritance that's been prepared for you since the foundation of the world. This isn't something that was a last-minute thought of God's. This is something that God has been preparing since the foundation of the world for you. The lambs are kind of, why am I getting it, this Lord? And he tells them. He says that I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. And the righteous little sheep are saying, when did we ever do that? When did we ever do that for you, Lord? I don't remember. I don't remember doing any of those things for you. We can say that quite easily now because we don't even have Jesus in the flesh in our midst anymore, do we? When was it I saw you thirsty, gave you something to drink? And then Jesus says the most startling thing, when you did it to the least of my brothers and sisters who are members of my family, you did it to me. What? You mean that guy that was out on the street the other day that I gave a toonie to? That was you? What? You mean that person that I visited in the hospital was actually you? Didn't look like you. But Jesus says, no. When we go about doing this for the weak of the world, it's like we're doing it for Jesus. This is what Jesus wants his reign to look like. Yes, he is the king. He is the king who earned that kingship by what he suffered on our behalf, but he is also the judge. The judge that's going to say, this is what I want from you. You don't need to be a great preacher. You don't need to be a great singer. Those are gifts that God might give us. But he says, no, no, this is what I want my reign to look like. Visiting the sick, giving food to the hungry. Like usually we think, well, physical food, hey, we try and do that at St. Saviour's as a group, don't we? We try and give food to people who need it. We try and give our voucher cards so they can go and buy food for themselves. We try and give them something to drink if they come to church. If they're a stranger to us here, we welcome them. A bunch of people brought clothes a couple of weeks ago. We didn't know what to do with them because our food box doesn't really accommodate clothes. But they were out in the narthex. I didn't know what we were going to do with them. But when our Ethiopian friends came to take some of their stuff away, there was one guy who obviously didn't have a lot of clothes because he looked at these jackets and this nice sweater and he says, oh, could I have that? And so he was able to take clothes that people from our group supplied. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me. I don't think I've ever visited anyone in prison, but I think all of us have gone to take care of sick people. You certainly did that to me when I got hit by the car. I got all kinds of food brought to me and people coming and bringing me flowers and visiting. It was wonderful. But it's not always physical, is it? Sometimes people are hungry for the gospel. I don't know where Aaron is today, but I remember him sharing his testimony with, I think it was a cop that was outside. I don't know why, I can't remember. Maybe it was a fireman. But he was able to share the gospel with this guy. And Aaron was so excited about being able to do that. Some people are hungry to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Some people are thirsty. Jesus said, if you come to me and drink, you will never be thirsty again. Some people are thirsty spiritually, and we get to share that with them. Some people always feel like a stranger, don't they? Maybe they're an introvert and they're not good at starting conversations. Maybe they know everybody at the party or know everybody sitting in church, but because they're a little bit shy, they still feel like a stranger. We can help them emotionally by just going up and starting a conversation with them. I was naked and you gave me clothing. Well, yes, we have some clothing that we can give to people, but sometimes people just are embarrassed with their stories of their own life. Sometimes they just need emotional clothing that we can put on them. Sometimes they need to be protected from those nasty goats with the horns that are saying bad things about them, and we can clothe them in our care so they don't have to worry about people gossiping about them. Maybe they're sick emotionally or spiritually, not just physically, and we can give them the bread of life that Jesus promises us. Or maybe they're in prisons of their own making. We do that to ourselves, don't we? Oh, nobody likes me. I'm uninteresting. And we shut ourselves into these little prisons that nobody has the key for. Well, maybe one of us has the key and we can help them open that prison door and can bring them out into the light of Christ. When you did it to the least of these members of my family, you did it to me. I find it interesting that both the little sheep that were doing the right thing and the goats that weren't doing the right thing have the same reaction. Lord, when did we ever see you naked or thirsty or hungry and not feed you? We don't remember that. If we'd known it was you, we would have done it. And Jesus said, when you didn't do it to the least of these, you didn't do it to me either. So what can we do? What can we do? I like the fact that Jesus tells us, even though he's the king, even though he is the ruler and the judge, there are no 6 degrees of separation with him. I and the Father are one, he says in John 17, and I want you to be one with me, just as I am one with the Father. There's no degrees of separation between us and this king. There are no degrees of separation between this king and all the people of his realm. The people that are hurting, the people that are thirsty, the people that are hungry. There's no separation. He identifies that closely with him, with them. And this is what he wants us to do. So where do we go from here? We go on a big adventure. Because every day we can walk out into the world and think, I wonder where I'm going to meet Jesus today. Is it going to be the TTC driver? Is it going to be that lady that's up at Loblaws every day sitting, waiting for a handout? Is it going to be when I walk into my office and my boss says, I need to see you right away? Everybody we meet every day when we walk out can be Jesus to us. And we can do for them what Jesus did when he was on earth. Feeding the hungry, giving water to the thirsty, binding up the wounds of those who are in bad shape. All of this we can do because we have Jesus with us and in us. As the Father and the Son are one, we are one with them. So let's go out every day this week looking for Jesus, because I think we'll find him. Amen.